Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the New World Report, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. And we're featuring conversations about what the U.S. hopes to achieve in the 9th Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, California, hosted by the President and First Lady. However, the headlines are dominated by who has not attended an unusual birthday party. The headline in CNN: snubs from key leaders at Summit of the Americas reveal Biden's struggle to assert U.S. leadership in its neighborhood. That's CNN reporting. The decision by Mexico's president to boycott this week's summit for regional leaders rendered futile months of work by President Joe Biden and other top officials of the Biden administration. Key nations in Central America are following President Lopez Obrador, dispatching only lower-level delegates instead of the leaders. And I mention Honduras, President Castro, the recently elected leader of Honduras, and Guatemala and El Salvador. The Northern Triangle itself is not attending from the position of the leaders of the country, a significant blow to the conversation these last years about the Northern Triangle contributing to the rush at the U.S. border. Evan, the concern here, though, has to be Lopez Obrador, a man who has very carefully knit his economy to the U.S.'s over these last years, and his predecessors did as well. What is the significance of his not attending? I know why he says he's not there, because the U.S. didn't invite Managua or Caracas or Havana. But what does he gain by boycotting the Los Angeles meeting?
John, the significance is much less than it was originally feared, because within the past couple of weeks, the threat was that a significant number of nations wouldn't come. Argentina was talking about not coming. Virtually the entirety of the nations of CARICOM were talking about not coming over this issue of essentially defending the right of autocratic, despotic regimes in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba to be there. The irony of that is that the original 1994 summit was the convening of countries that were explicitly democratic.
Professor, just a moment about democratic, because that is a moving story. Democratic in Maduro's regime is that people vote for me because I'm important and I'm in charge and I'm a legitimate president. It's not recognized by the U.S. as democratic. The same question of voting in Havana, in Cuba, the same question of the voting that we saw last year in Nicaragua, where the unanimous decision was to stay with the regime, but that is not recognized as democratic. There are other countries in Latin America that have gone through democracy, but there have been very large questions raised about transparency. So that word democratic can be abused. Is that part of the concern that the State Department must have as to who is a transparent republic voting democratically and who is not?
For the State Department and probably for most of the region, who is actually a democracy and who is not is relatively clear. But as you recall, this goes back to the idea that democracy is a value word, connoting the goodness about the inclusion of the people. But during the Cold War, you had states like East Germany that called themselves people's republics and had enormous turnout for the voting in of the one available Communist Party candidate. And so when we talked about Nicaragua, where essentially all of the opposition candidates have been either put in jail or their parties made illegal, or in Venezuela, where the voting was so rigged that there really was no alternative, not even in state or local elections. And in the one place where the opposition won, I believe it was Barinas State, they decided to redo the election to see if they could get a better result the second time. And certainly Cuba, where, again, opposition, as we saw, was brutally crushed and not even allowed to express themselves or communicate last last July. But the issue was that certainly in 1994, again, during the Cold War, as the U.S. Moved beyond that, there was a general consensus of a U.S.-style participatory democracy and the concept that Latin America, although their democracies through corruption and other things were imperfect, that they at least shared those aspirations. What we're at today is that there has been a subtle morphing of what the Summit of the Americas is supposed to be about. The idea that this was once based in the Democratic Charter, which was actually essentially agreed upon at one of the summits of the Americas, has been lost. The idea that this was not a summit about geographically everyone in the region, but those who shared certain values and wanted to work together to take the region forward as fellow democratic regimes and essentially eliminating the disruption traditionally such as Cuba of those who did not share that. But the discourse of people like Ebrard or people like the head of St. Vincent's and the Grenadines was that everyone who is geographically present in the Americas should be there. Well, then you say, why not countries such as French Guiana? Why shouldn't they be there? They're geographically in the region, even though they're part of France. So it's really a slippery slope. But at the end of the day, the countries that were boycotting on this basis of, well, everyone who is geographically present, we're not a club of democracies anymore. We're just a club of people present. But to your question about whether this impacted the summit through Mexico, at the end of the day, as one of my esteemed colleagues in Mexico said, it was really the Mexican AMLO ended up isolating himself because in the end, Argentina came, in the end, Brazil came, in the end, most of the Caribbean came. And so it was really Mexico that lost the opportunity to have its voice on the debate about important themes such as immigration, as it is very important for Mexico at this time to work for coordination with the United States in terms of its economic integration through USMCA and other things. In the same sense, it was ironic that Central America did not show up in, by large, at least the Northern Triangle. So on the one hand, you had countries who, in a fit of pique over being not called democracies, El Salvador, Guatemala with the Giamatti regime expressing their displeasure because their very obviously corrupt Attorney General Consuelo Porras was put on is being investigated and sanctioned by both Treasury and Justice, saying, okay, they're not going to show up because of that. But on the other hand, Honduras, that the United States is try to woo, showing Xiomara Castro there, showing her solidarity and thus showing that she, what we've talked about on the show, although we try to woo her over anti-corruption, there is an ideological divergence that is going to create increasing problems. And also Bolivia, the government of Arce there, who are arguably should have been excluded as well for not being a democracy with the rigged nature of the Bolivian justice system and other things. Expressing solidarity with his fellow dictators. And so at the end of the day, it does end up being a summit of democratic state.
Let's go to a real democracy, Professor, to Colombia. We know that that issue is weighing in the balance after the Summit of the Americas. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, the Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. We're going to Colombia next. And a surprise in the middle of the election process for the new president. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.